This is Bill Tiller of Tiller.org. You're listening to BBSRadio.com. Don't forget to tune in to The Infinite Consciousness with Eva Herr every Sunday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Enjoy.
Welcome to The Infinite Consciousness this week, and thanks for listening. Today we're going to be talking to Dr. Joseph Gold, and we're going to talk about hydrogen sulfate and what it can do for cancer for you and your loved ones. How are you, Dr. Gold?
Good, and the drug is hydrazine sulfate.
What did that say?
No, you just said hydrogen sulfate.
Oh, sorry.
Hydrazine.
So tell us a little bit about you, Dr. Gold, before we get started, so people will know where you are, where they can find you, where they can read about your work.
I'm director of the Syracuse Cancer Research Institute in Syracuse, New York. And you could read about our work on our website, that is scri.ngen.com or www.hydrazinesulfate.org.
And tell us, how did you come to find hydrazine sulfate? How did you come to find that it helped cancer?
Well, hydrazine sulfate has been years long in development. In 1968, we published a paper in a medical journal speculating that a specific chemical inhibitor to a very specific enzyme would result in the betterment of cancer. And it was later learned that hydrazine sulfate was that very specific inhibitor to that specific enzyme.
And what kind of research did you start doing with it then?
Well, early on, that is from 1968 onward, we started doing work on mouse and rat cancers to see whether they improved with hydrazine sulfate treatment. And not only did we do that in our own laboratories, but we also asked other laboratories across the country to conduct concurrent and similar research.
And was it reproducible?
Your success rate? Yes. On the animals, the early studies showed the same results, that hydrazine sulfate improved what we call cancer cachexia, which is the weight loss in cancer, and also decreased the rate of tumor growth. Animal research was conducted fully 5 years before any human research was conducted.
And how significant was the impact of it on a cancer?
Would you make that a more specific question?
Did it affect it a little bit or a lot?
Well, you mean in humans or animals?
In humans.
Well, human studies began only in 1973, fully 5 years after animal studies. And you must understand that human studies progressed very slowly. Human studies are characterized by anecdotal studies, that is, with studies of individual cancer patients, or by actual organized control clinical trials. And the first control clinical trials were those done in the Soviet Union by the Russian group at the Petrov Cancer Research Institute in what is now St. Petersburg, and they published in American journals, that is, American peer-reviewed journals. Mm-hmm. Their work showed from 1973 through 1981 and beyond that late-stage patients, what they called factually terminal patients who had ceased to respond to the usual cancer drugs, or who were never responsive in the first place, about 55% of them responded very sharply, very sensitively to hydrazine sulfate. Their cancers were greatly improved.
Now, I'm curious, was their research funded by pharmaceutical companies?
Oh, no, no. The Russian research was funded by themselves.
And the NIH and the National Cancer Institute, do pharmaceuticals normally fund their work?
Well, no, but they're in a sort of partnership with the pharmaceutical companies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the National Cancer Institute sponsors three large studies of hydrazine sulfate in the late 80s and early 90s. And the National Cancer Institute historically was an early adversary of hydrazine sulfate. They didn't like this drug, and they didn't think it was worth very much.
Why not?
They misinformed a congressman who asked specific status of the drug. I don't know why not, but in their sponsored studies of hydrazine sulfate in the late 80s and early 90s, in each of the three studies, they used incompatible medications with hydrazine. Let me explain that to your readers. Hydrazine sulfate is what is called a powerful MAO inhibitor. And many of your viewers and readers will understand what MAO inhibitors are. In all these network news shows, you see ads by pharmaceutical companies. Don't take this drug if you're taking an MAO inhibitor.
What exactly is that, so my listeners can be sure and understand?
An MAO inhibitor is a monoamine oxidase inhibitor. And hydrazine sulfate is a very potent MAO inhibitor. And you can't use drugs like tranquilizers and psychoactive drugs and barbiturates and sleeping pills and things of that nature or alcohol with an MAO inhibitor, because what it does is deactivate the MAO inhibitor and make the patient a hell of a lot sicker than he or she is.
Mm-hmm. And I think
it's something that is never, 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 ever done in a clinical study, ever done. Yet our National Cancer Institute saw to it that in all their three sponsored studies, tranquilizers were used in almost 100% of the patients, barbiturates were used in many patients, and alcohol, unlimited alcohol, was used with all the patients.
I was reading your website. Didn't someone specifically bring this to their attention not to do this on one more than
one
occasion?
Oh, yes. Someone. Yours truly. I sent letters to all the study chairs, to every level of NCI, phone calls. It's all actually very well documented.
I'm curious, did you ever have any correspondence with Jeffrey White about this, or any communication with Jeffrey White?
No, I don't know who Jeffrey White is.
Okay. He's the director of the NIH Complementary Medicine Program, and I wrote him a letter about this, and I was going to tell you what he had to say.
That came into being long after hydrazine sulfate was tested. That agency of the NIH was not yet in being when the NCI sponsored the hydrazine sulfate test.
So what happened with Jeffrey, with that division? The complementary medicine division, because I'm curious if what he told me was the truth. I'll read it. He said Dan Haley had told me about what was going on and how they were suppressing it and doing the trials wrong, and so I communicate with Jeffrey a lot, and so I wrote him a letter and fussed at him about that, and he said, the email back said, I don't know why you were what you were referring to when you say the NIH caused them to be squashed.
The NIH didn't. The NCI did.
He said, we are not a regulatory agency, and I don't believe that the work we are doing with regard to the evaluation of case reports of patients treated with alternative approaches is useful in making regulatory decisions, nor have I promoted its use for that purpose. So,
you're barking up the wrong tree, Eva. This agency of the NIH, so Complementary Medicine, was not created until years after the hydrazine sulfate studies were done. They have this agency has nothing to say, no bearing on those studies. Zero.
So who could help get this out there for the people?
Well, first of all, you must understand that the drug is legally available to people right now, even in the United States, by doctors writing a prescription for it and that prescription being filled at a compounding pharmacy.
Mm-hmm.
That's at a pharmacy where there's a little bit more training than regular pharmacists. But the International Academy of Compounding Pharmacists that are located in Texas can give anyone the name of a compounding pharmacy close to him or her.
Do you have to be in a certain stage before you can have it?
No. Hydrazine sulfate, the studies show, the studies that are really good studies and conform to law are two sets of studies, 10 years of studies by Harbor UCLA Medical Center in Los Angeles, and 17 years of studies by a group centered at the Petroff Research Institute in St. Petersburg. But those were what we call multicentric studies, and they included 5 or 6 different cancer research institutes in the Eastern European area that worked together. So this is not; these are not small-time little anecdotal studies. These are really well-conducted, rigorously conducted cancer studies published in the best peer-reviewed cancer journals and conducted by chemotherapists who are regarded worldwide as leaders in their fields.
Why is it, do you think, that they suppressed it so much?
Well, there's only one reason that comes to mind, not only from me, but from dozens of other cancer scientists. We don't make any money on hydrazine sulfate at all, not a dime. We never have. But hydrazine sulfate is not an expensive drug, Eva, like chemotherapy drugs usually are. As a matter of fact, hydrazine sulfate is listed in the catalogs of fine biochemical companies. These are biochemical companies that produce these very fine biochemicals. And if you want to look up the catalog price of drug-grade hydrazine sulfate, that means high-purity hydrazine sulfate, you'll find that it costs about 0.75 cents per human dose.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. That's different from $18,000 a month for some of them.
Flabbergast me.
This is the problem with hydrazine sulfate. In fact, about 10 years ago, the London Daily Mail, which is an international newspaper, came out with a news story headline, "Is hydrazine sulfate too cheap for its own good?"
It's hard to believe.
Yeah, so it is, isn't it?
You would think that, and I know your answer to this because I read fully your webpage, but I have to say this with a little bit of sarcasm. It must have terrible side effects for them to be suppressing it so much.
Yeah, the side effects are that it dislocates a lot of the economy of the National Cancer Institute and some of our drug companies. That's the side effects.
Amazing. Now, does it treat all kinds of cancers, or does it just treat certain kinds?
Now, you've got to understand that this is not Dr. Gold claiming. These are the actual published peer-reviewed studies claiming, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This drug is useful in virtually all kinds of cancer at every stage. It is useful by itself, in conjunction with some chemotherapy, and very useful in conjunction with radiation therapy. It's useful for virtually all cancer patients.
Now, I was doing some Googling around on the internet before I interviewed you. I'm wondering, just from some of the sites that I picked up on, can the doctors prescribe it at any time throughout your cancer, or do you have to wait until you're really sick to get it?
Well, you got to understand. Let me answer your question comprehensively.
Okay.
Any cancer drug is best used early on. But most cancer drugs are first tested on very late-stage patients. That's why your question is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So your answer is no. It's best to use this as any cancer drug early on in the patient's cancer. But bear in mind, it needn't be either chemotherapy or hydrazine sulfate. Neither be either or. It could be both.
Mm-hmm. Is it legal to have it at the early onset of cancer, or do they make you hold off?
What do you mean, is it legal?
Well, I read something somewhere that said that it... And I don't. This could have been an old website, so I want to make this clear for my
mm-hmm.
listeners. That because it was in testing stages, you can only get it if you were, you know, sick, dying sick.
No.
So you can
no.
get it at any time. That must have been an old site.
This must have been a very old site. Yes.
And how long would it take? Let's say that someone had third stage or fourth stage lung cancer,
mm-hmm.
and they took hydrazine sulfate, how long would it take before it started working, and how long generally would it take before someone got well, if they were going
All
to
right.
get well?
I got to answer that question first by what constitutes a good response. Hydrazine sulfate is what we call an anti-cachexia drug. Cachexia means weight loss and body debilitation. The reason that's important is that cachexia is involved in upwards of 73% of all cancer deaths. So the rationale is simple. You do something for cachexia, you're going to do a lot for the cancer patients.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with people taking hydrazine sulfate, the first course is usually 6 weeks, followed by 1 to 2 week lapse of a drug and then reinstatement. Usually, by the time the first course is done, there is a response. With some patients, there is a response. Their appetite sharply improves. They feel stronger. We call that performance status increase. And they have a general feeling of well-being sometimes within the first week. And sometimes not until the second course, but usually between 1 and 3 weeks.
So let me make sure I'm understanding this right. It doesn't necessarily kill the cancer itself, but it gives your body the better ability because you can
hydrazine sulfate is not a cancer cell killer.
Okay.
See, most chemotherapy agents kill cancer cells.
Mm-hmm.
However, they also kill normal cells. And that's why some of them can be so very toxic. There are many, many chemotherapy deaths each year in the United States alone.
Mm-hmm.
Hydrazine sulfate does not kill any cancer cells, and thus its side effects are practically nil. Do you read me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So
now, hydrazine sulfate does result in tumor regression, or can result in tumor regression and cause a tumor to disappear. But it doesn't do it by killing the cancer cell. It does it via a metabolic mechanism.
Well, it seems like it could be good for other things, too, that cause you to have weight loss when you're sick like that.
Actually, there have never been any studies done, but anecdotal patient reports have indicated that it can be useful in any disorder where there is a high rate of what, I hate to get scientific with you, but a high rate of what we call gluconeogenesis. That is, the body's making sugar out of small molecules and using an awful lot of energy to do that. And that energy use, what we call host energy wasting, is what results in weight loss. So anxiety nervosa, diabetes, infection, there have been anecdotal patients, never study patients, anecdotal mm-hmm. patients mm-hmm. reported by doctors to be beneficially affected. But if I were to be asked about that, I would say there isn't any real evidence for that now, study evidence, but there's a lot of evidence for its cancer effect.
If someone wanted to do that, could they do it?
That would be up to themselves and their doctors.
Okay. So, I lost my train of thought for a second. It seems maybe that it would really help people that had AIDS, too, because they lose most of their body weight, don't they, due to that problem?
Well, I've got to tell you and your listeners a story. In 1987, Harbor UCLA received a grant from NIH, not the National Cancer Institute, one of the other national institutes, to study hydrazine sulfate in AIDS patients, in advanced age AIDS patients. They even received funding for this study. They even enrolled patients for this study. And then suddenly, mysteriously, they never started the study, and they gave the money back.
You're kidding.
No.
And wonder what reason that was. Pharmaceuticals?
Well, they gave a lame reason. They said that they were not able to find an appropriate source of hydrazine sulfate. Here they had found appropriate sources for their previous studies, and NCI found appropriate sources for its sponsored studies, but they had to give this up. And they conducted a study prior to this potential study, seeing whether hydrazine sulfate would be feasible in AIDS patients, and that study showed that it was. So a lot of politics swirling around with a cheap, effective cancer drug.
Well, we have to pat Dan Haley on the back for trying to bring this to light.
Actually,
know?
Eva, many people other than, in addition to Dan, have written books and had chapters about the hydrazine sulfate story in it. And
did you treat Billy Best?
Billy who?
Was that you that treated Billy Best in Canada?
We don't treat individual patients.
The friend of Dan Haley's, I believe, that the young teenager that ran away from home because he had cancer.
No, we don't treat any individual patients.
Okay.
We consult with their doctors, but we don't treat them.
Are you familiar with the Billy Best story?
Well, no, but there are, from what you say about it, there are many patients like that who whose family or who they do not wish to have the cancer treatment recommended by their physicians, who sort of run away and get other types of treatment.
So what does do you do at your institution?
We do basic cancer research with laboratory animals. We do we sponsor clinical research. We now have a very successful global outreach program for both patients and doctors who wish to be informed about hydrazine. We will send them information, all of this free of charge. We will talk with the patients. We will talk with the doctors. We have no charge for that. And this is now enlarging greatly. We get communication from literally all parts of the world in which cancer research and cancer treatment is done, every country in the world.
So let's go back a little bit to the conspiracy that the government was doing. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, I hate to use the word conspiracy because that presupposes a little bit of paranoia.
I can't think of another word that suits it, though.
Well, I'm not going to dispute you, but it's not even necessary to use that word. This is an old story with government. For example, in 1976, we asked our congressman, who is no longer living, James Hanley was his name, but he was very well known in Congress, a 16-year congressman, head of many subcommittees, head of the Post Office and Civil Service Committee, etc. He was no lightweight. We asked him to get a status report from the NCI on hydrazine sulfate. That's in March of 1976. Okay? That's not very much, is it?
No.
At that time, Eva, we did not know that the Russians were conducting human trials with hydrazine sulfate. We knew that they picked it up from the literature, from our published work, and were in animal trials, but not human trials. The NCI wrote back to Congressman Hanley that the Russians had conducted human trials in hydrazine sulfate and found no meaningful anti-cancer activity. And then Congressman Hanley sent us a copy of that letter. Well, we almost died when we got it because, first of all, we didn't know that the Russians were testing it. Secondly, we had heard that the Russians were getting successful animal, that is, mouse and rat results.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as in like a Hollywood scenario, a day after we received that letter, the postman comes to our front glass doors. We have a big glass suite. Comes with a shiny manila envelope that was not even sealed that we had to sign for. And that envelope came from what was then Leningrad, now St. Petersburg. And in that envelope was a reprint, a copy of a study, all in Russian, except for the English summary. The English summary talked about the first Russian study that was done, the information of which that was presumably sent to Congressman Hanley. Only what this said was that they did 48 late-stage patients and got spectacularly positive results, and as a result of it, they were enlarging their human study immediately. The actual study said the exact opposite of the information sent to our congressman.
Amazing.
And what's more, it turns out that our NCI had that information in writing. It was already published in an obscure NCI journal 6 months earlier. Even we didn't know about it, but we dug a copy of it. So at the time that they were telling Congressman Hanley that there was no meaningful anti-cancer activity, The Russians had already published in our journal that there was, and they knew it. That was 1976. And the NCI has continued that broad adversary onslaught to hydrazine sulfate ever since.
Who is it that's funding them or causing them to do this? Do you know?
Say that again.
Which pharmaceutical or what money is causing them to do this?
Well, there is no pharmaceutical company involved primarily with the NCI. National Cancer Institute is the federal government, Eva. It's part of the National Institutes of Health, NIH, which is the federal government, which gets its money directly from Congress. Doesn't
so why is that happening?
Why is it happening? You know, I'd have to be a lot smarter than I am to answer that question. I will say this, that the cancer industry, as mentioned by many cancer authors of the cancer situation, cancer industry is a $200 billion a year industry in the United States. Let's say this, cancer research, cancer treatment, cancer care, cancer pharmaceutical companies, cancer fundraising, $200 billion a year.
What does the American Cancer Society have to say about it? Do you know? Do they know?
The American Cancer Society in 1976 placed hydrazine sulfate on their unproven methods list. That's their blacklist. And really promoted their blacklist. But in 1979, they quietly took hydrazine sulfate off their unproven list. And in 1980, the American Cancer Society should be complimented because they were the first to fund real control clinical trials from UCLA Medical Center in Los Angeles. And the person who was the leader in that was the vice president of the American Cancer Society for Research. His name was Dr. Frank J. Rauscher, Jr., who was also at one time director of the National Cancer Institute from 1971 onward.
Well,
so
happy for that.
So,
what about JAMA? Why would JAMA oppose it so much?
Well, JAMA is... it's hard to say. JAMA I think that the people at JMA who opposed it were taking their cues from the NCI at that time, and they were zealots really for a very bad cause. I don't know if JAMA would do the same now.
So what is the support in the world for that now? I mean, do you find that
your peers
accept it for hydrazine sulfate? Do they
hydrazine sulfate, you got to understand the voice of the National Cancer Institute. The voice of the National Cancer Institute is like the voice of God in cancer. The NCI gives away a lot of money in grants and contracts, not only to major cancer centers and groups in the United States, but also overseas, wherever cancer research is done. And their influence, the NCI influence, is great. No one in his right mind would go against NCI policy and expect to receive cash for their research, etc.
I see.
Do you see?
Yeah.
Now the NCI gets on the internet. You can see the NCI's internet on hydrazine sulfate. The NCI will say, every year recently, 2007 they published, 2006 they published, 2005 they published the same thing. They'll say there have been no studies to suggest that hydroxyl sulfate is useful in human cancer, just animal cancer. All right. You go and you see from the internet that there are 15 human studies published in the best peer-reviewed cancer journals in the world, and they all say hydroxyl sulfate is useful in cancer.
You know, I just
so wait a minute. No, wait a minute. Let me finish. So how come the NCI says something that's just false? Then the NCI will say, have you ever heard the term randomized clinical trials, RCTs?
Mm-hmm.
A randomized clinical trial is a double-blind, prospectively randomized, double-blind clinical trial where neither the physicians testing the drug nor the patients taking the drug know whether they're getting the real drug or the or a placebo. And at the end of a certain period of time, a third group in the pharmacy breaks the codes and you find out who got what benefit.
Mm-hmm.
RCTs are the gold standard of clinical testing. The National Cancer Institute says on the internet there have never been any RCTs, randomized clinical trials of hydroxyl sulfate, which has shown hydroxyl sulfate to be useful in human cancer. Really? There are four large RCTs conducted by Harbor UCLA Medical Center in Los Angeles and published in best clinical journals. All those RCTs say hydroxyl sulfate is active in human cancer. So how is it that the National Cancer Institute, our leading authority in cancer, can publish actual virtual lies with impunity on the internet? What they're doing is saying to doctors, don't use hydroxyl sulfate. And what they're doing with patients is saying, don't use hydroxyl sulfate. Now, most doctors are very respectful of the MCI, and they should be. But when it comes to hydroxyl sulfate, MCI has just been a terrible adversary of it and has said that the drug is worthless when competently done clinical trials show it to be very useful.
Has their management structure stayed the same over all of these years at the NCI?
Is it the same
person doing this over and over?
Not the same person, but the same face. Each person has about the same face. You got to understand that many people who run the NCI, the first thing they want to do is preserve the integrity of the NCI. The integrity.
So I have to say this here. How is that preserving integrity by lying?
Well, I'm using integrity in quotes. They want to preserve the NCI. And they want to save it from any scandal. So if there's a scandal, they try to cover it up. And if you uncover the cover-up, then they try to cover that up. When it comes to hydroxyl sulfate, they have done wrong now for over 30 years. And they know they've done wrong. And their sponsored studies go against every type of research known. We have something known in the world as the Helsinki Declaration. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't.
It's a multinational ratification of the rules governing human clinical trials. And the United States is a sponsoring agent of that declaration. It's the outgrowth of the Nuremberg war trials, the Nuremberg doctor trials, where all these goddamn Nazi doctors killed people. They didn't want those kind of studies to go on again. So the Helsinki Declaration says, first of all, that's number one principle, is that you cannot do a study that is not in conformity with accepted principles of study. And one of the accepted principles of all studies is that you can't use an incompatible agent with a test drug. Why? Because it kills people. And you can scour the entire medical literature, and I dare you to come up with one published peer-reviewed study where they allowed it with a where it was done even, a test drug was tested with an incompatible agent. It's just virtually unknown. Unknown. And here the NCI was warned by myself and other scientists as well before their studies began not to use incompatible agents, and they said to hell with you. Okay?
I don't know what to say. It makes me angry.
No. Well, it should. And it should make a lot of people angry. But you see, the voice of Dr. Gold and of many other doctors who know about this, they're very weak compared to the NCI. The NCI is our government, is our federal government.
It just leaves me, it kind of leaves me speechless. I don't know what to say, except that brings out a lot of anger in me. Really,
and the NCI has all the words and all the credentials. You contact the NCI, and they know how to express the words, oh, our people wouldn't do that, would we?
So I have to ask this question. You're very, very voiceful about it. Have you been threatened?
Oh, no. There would be no reason to threaten me, because This has been out in the open for a long, long, long time. There have been
I didn't know until Dan told me.
There have been many investigators, many people, dozens of books written on this subject.
I guess, you know, the average person doesn't go around reading books of this depth about
The Burton Goldberg's book on alternative cancer care has a chapter in it. Dan Haley's book has a chapter in it. There must be five dozen books that have a chapter in it on hydrazine sulfate. This has been going on for a long time, and it's like a bone in the NCI's throat. They can't swallow it, and they can't spit it out. But, you know, we've been trying to argue for years about a clean clinical study done again on hydrazine sulfate, funded by our government, because that's where the real money is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the pharmaceutical companies have a lot of money, but the real money is in our government. We should refund the study, and it shouldn't be done by the same people
and Congress knows all of this. I mean, has somebody gone to Congress and got on the floor and told them about this?
Not on the floor, no, and there have been no hearings, but God knows people have, yes, there have been hearings on hydrazine sulfate, but they come and go. And some congressmen know about this, certainly. We've been to various congressmen's, senators' offices.
Does Hillary Clinton know about it?
Well, Hillary Clinton did know about it when she was first lady.
And what was her response? Do you know?
Well, I think she was interested, but she gave it to the she sent it to the FDA. Now, the FDA is another agency of the NCI. Frequently, Eva, people who are high up in the NCI move on to become high up in the FDA. For example, we had a person that we have a person by the name of Dr. von Eschenbach, who's commissioner of the FDA now. He was director of the NCI just a little while ago, and he wanted to be both director of the NCI and commissioner of the FDA, and he was for a while. So you have the same faces operating. So Hillary made a mistake of asking for a comment, I guess, from the FDA, which just mouthed the NCI's line. So
no,
if she truly knew about it, maybe she'd take some action. I don't know.
So if the people wanted to support you and write or contact somebody, who would the best person be to do it? I mean,
well,
who would be the best person for them to inundate with letters or emails or phone
actually,
calls?
Actually, it's hard for me to know how to answer that question other than say all their congressmen, their representatives, and their senators, et cetera, but all of them. And some of the important people, like Senator Kennedy, is very important in health-related matters.
Is he aware of it? Is he open?
I don't know if he's aware of it. We have certainly included him in copies of our letters to other government officials. I have never received any letters from important government officials. Let's put it that way. You got to understand, though.
I mean, it's great health care for the poor, you know? It just makes me angry.
Well, you've got to understand now, their hydrazine sulfate took years and years and years to have some grassroots support. But now, you ask, have I been threatened? If Dr. Gold was out of the picture, it wouldn't mean anything because it'd still go on. In Russia, there is a pharmaceutical company now producing and registering. Do you know what I mean by registering hydrazine
sulfate? I'm not sure. Why don't you tell us?
Registering means going through all the formal procedures in each country, going through all the hoops of what you have to do before a drug can get to be legally approved and sold in a country. And they've now registered it in five or six countries, and they're on the internet, and they've even got a trade name for it, which is Cehydrin, Cehydrin.
Okay.
And apparently, from what we read on the internet, that it's producing the same results that UCLA produced and the Petrov Institute produced. So it's going very well. And in this country, too, there are many, many doctors of goodwill. And many of them are fooled by the NCI because they take the NCI at its word. But many of them, they get one good patient on hydrazine sulfate or one of their colleagues' good patients, so they see that it's bona fide.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly they're using the drug or they're using it as much as they can. Now, the FDA, some years ago, tried to rub hydrazine sulfate out. They convened one of their, what they call their advisory committees, and the topic on the agenda was to delist hydrazine sulfate from what they call their bulk compounding list. If that happened, hydrazine sulfate would be illegal in this country. And they did delist it. You know why? They invited only speakers who could speak against hydrazine sulfate. Against the law. That's against the law. When you convene an advisory committee by the law of the Federal Advisory Committee Act of 1997, you have to have all sides and both sides of an opinion. You have to have speakers of both sides. So they didn't. But it turned out anyway that the law was struck down as unconstitutional by our courts, the law under which they had that. So the drug is legal right now. And
Is it in danger? Is anything pending about it?
What, the law?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The NCI did not like that it was, the FDA didn't like that it was struck down, and they took it to the Court of Appeals, the Circuit Court of Appeals, and it was the unconstitutionality of the law by which they had this committee was upheld. Then they took that to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court turned the FDA down 5-4. So it's still legal.
Thank God. I wonder how many other things that are out there they're doing this to.
Well, you know, in talking about this, and I have been outspoken over the years, I've been on a lot.
Right, we're having a very bad connection. Are you on a portable phone?
Hello? I didn't hear you.
There? Are you on a portable phone?
No, I'm not.
Oh.
Can you hear me?
Connection. Yeah, I can hear you. It's kind of funny, though.
Well,
anyway, go ahead.
Well, I've been on very many national programs. I've been outspoken over the years. And, you know, as I'm talking to you and your listeners now, it occurs to me, years ago we used to hear about these fabulous carburetors that gave a car 50, 80 miles a gallon, right?
Uh-huh.
And this is like one of them. The hydrazine sulfate is a fabulous drug, et cetera, et cetera. And as you speak about this, it sounds really outlandish, except for one thing. If you go to the medical literature, there are 20 or 30 clinical studies done by the best people in the world, published in the best journals of the world, all of which say hydrazine sulfate is a very effective cancer drug that can be used in virtually all types of cancer at each stage, has very few and fleeting side effects, and can be used by itself with chemo and with radiation. It's all out there. It's not Dr. Gold. It's not Dr. Haley. It's not Joe Doakes from Missouri City. It's out there in the actual peer-reviewed medical literature.
Well, thank you, Dr. Gold. I really appreciate you coming on my show and being so honest about it.
Okay.
So one more place where they can get a hold of your work if they need to. Hydrazinesulfate.org, hydrazinesulfate.org.
The best place is the SCRI website, scri.ngen.com.
And be sure and not put www in front of that, because I did that and it doesn't work. Just use those letters.
That's right.
Thanks,
and
Dr.
Anybody who wishes to call our institute and our institute numbers on that website, they can.
Why don't you just tell us what that is?
It's Area 315-472-6616. We'll be happy to answer any questions. We will not recommend any treatment for any patient, but we'll answer any questions and won't cost anybody a penny.
Thank you, Dr. Gold.
All right.
I appreciate the work you're doing.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.